turn to the book of Joshua, to Joshua chapter 14. And I want us to spend our time here tonight looking at an individual who I would consider to be a great role model for us today. It's so important for us to have role models. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And so Paul, setting himself up as a role model, had already established a role model for himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth, but you be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So the Bible emphasizes the importance of identifying individuals who can help us set our eyes on the goal or the mark in whatever area of life it may be, so that we can pursue it with purpose and be the kind of people God wants us to be. Hebrews chapter 11 is a whole list of individuals, some named, some unnamed, who are fitting role models of faith that have lived before us and model that kind of behavior for us. There's one other from whom we can learn much, and that individual's name is Caleb. And tonight I would like to look at Caleb as a model for Christian conduct and behavior. Now, Caleb wasn't a Christian. He lived in a dispensation before the Christian dispensation. But there are many characteristics and traits that are common to godliness that bleed over into any dispensation of time in God's dealings with men. And so I'd like to notice three things tonight about this man that would be, in my estimation, very helpful for us in some very important areas of our life. Look with me at Joshua chapter 14. Look at verses 6 and 7 to begin with. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart.'" Now, the incident to which Caleb is referring here is the period of time after leaving Egypt when the children of Israel worked their way up to the edge of the promised land. And God at that time gave them the opportunity to go in and possess that land. They determined that they're going to send 12 spies into the land to spy it out, a good military strategy to go in and see what you're facing, to know how you're going to tackle that particular situation. And you know the story well, how 12 spies were sent in. They spy out the land, but they come back, and the majority of them have an evil report, the Bible says, about the land, whereas two, Joshua and Caleb, have a good report about the land. Here, we learn our first lesson about Caleb. Caleb teaches us how to have faith in God. It was 10 to 2 as far as it concerns going into Kadesh Barnea into the promised land at that point. 10 to 2. The majority of the spies said, "No way." But Caleb and Joshua, for some reason, had determined that this was the right thing to do and this was the right time to do it. The dissenting voice was so loud, though, that it had persuaded the multitude of people. In fact, they were all against the idea of going into the land, and Joshua and Caleb stood alone as those who had faith in God that this was the right thing to do and this was the right time to do it. But Caleb listened to a voice other than the one that these individuals were listening to. Caleb was listening to the voice of God, not the voice of the multitude. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2, we read these words, verses 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving you. Not, I'm thinking about giving you. Not, I might give you if you can work really hard and overcome the enemy in that land. He says, I'm giving you this land to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among his people. And then, you know, they come back. Nah, this is a bad idea. We can't do this. But listen to the voice of Caleb again, Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Two voices to which to listen. The voice of fear, the voice of doubt, the voice of unbelief, or the voice to which Caleb was listening to, the voice of God that had already said, I am giving you this land. Go in and take it. And that's the voice that Caleb was listening to. You know, it's amazing the obstacles we can overcome in this life if we're listening to the right voice. If we're listening to the voice of God rather than the voice of fear, the voice of doubt, all of these other voices that vie for time in our minds against the voice of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. When God says we can do something, we don't assess the situation and say, no, these odds are greater than what we are prepared for. No, these circumstances are more difficult and more challenging than we might be able to endure. If God says we are to do this, then we're to rest on that alone and find a way within His will to make it happen. We walk by faith and not by sight. When I look at this man, Caleb, he teaches me, he teaches you, he teaches us a great lesson about faith. And that lesson is, make sure that the voice you are listening to is God's voice. Make sure that the words you are hearing are His words. And make sure that your priorities, your reasoning about what you are able to do is based upon what He said He will accomplish in our lives. You can apply that lesson to so many things. Our individual lives, what we can face. And believe me, we face a lot of adversity and difficulty and illness and grief. We face a lot in this life. But if God has told us we can overcome it, we can endure it, we can make it through, then you and I just need to trust Him that we can. Of course, we have to do what He has told us to do in order to make that a reality. We can't just sit back in the easy chair and say, well, God says He's going to bless me in this regard, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for Him to make it happen. If there are conditions, if there is instruction connected to that, then we have to do that. But we do it from the mindset that we trust that He will bring to pass the very things that He has promised. And that's what Caleb says in effect here. God has promised this, and now I'm ready to collect on what He has promised. Caleb teaches us how to have faith in God. Now notice the second point in verses 8 and 9. Here Caleb teaches us how to follow God. Read the verses with me. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Again, Caleb teaches us how to follow God, but let's explore that idea for a moment. Moses had pronounced God's blessing based upon how Caleb followed the Lord. If you want an interesting study, just search through your Bible and look for that concept of following the Lord my God or the Lord our God, and look at the many different ways that phrase is used. Sometimes it's very favorable and good, like it is here. Sometimes it's not very favorable, and the word not will be in front of it. They had not followed the Lord their God. And of course, situations like that wouldn't make very good role models and examples for us. But we're talking about a man, and we're dealing with a man who wholly followed. How did he walk? Well, he wholly followed the Lord his God. There were two options, and we'll return there in just a moment and look at it. There were two options for the people assembled at that place on that day as they contemplated going in and possessing that land flowing with milk and honey. You can either wholly follow the Lord your God, or you can not wholly follow the Lord your God. Listen to Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now look, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Two categories, two camps in which an individual can be. You can be the one like the ten who didn't wholly follow the Lord, or you can be in the camp of the two like Joshua and Caleb who did that very thing. Their aim, their purpose, and their goal was to figure out where God was going, to line up behind him and follow him, regardless of what that meant. Another key idea or concept in these verses, Caleb said he did what was in his heart. Now, you hear that a lot, and a person may say, well, it felt like this in my heart. And what we do in life ought to correspond to what is in our heart, as long as what's in our heart corresponds with what God has said. I like the illustration of conscience, where you look at conscience as an alarm clock. And an alarm clock is a very valuable instrument to keep us on time and keep us on schedule so that we don't miss things. But there are some important details about that alarm clock. First, you have to make sure you've set it for the right alarm time. But two, you also have to make sure you've set the right time. An alarm clock is good as long as it is set correctly. The heart, the seat of our emotions, thinking and reasoning, we're not talking about the blood pump. But where we discern and make decisions relative to following the Lord is a very valuable instrument and tool that God has given us. But it must be trained, and it must be trained according to the will of God. Here are a few passages that help remind of that. You remember what Jesus said in Luke 6:45? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And you know the opposite, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth bad. What we put in our heart determines what comes out of it. Here's some more passages. Psalm 119 verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander far from your commandments. The psalmist says, I'm trying to fill my heart with your word, and now with my whole heart I'm seeking you. Don't let me get far from that. Don't let the time get askew on my clock. Help me to make sure my alarm is set correctly. It's all dependent upon how our heart corresponds to the word of God. Psalm 119 again, but verse 11 this time. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you? And then if you skip down to verse 112 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Now that's the kind of heart we should have as Christians, because that kind of heart will help us wholly follow the Lord our God. And when we see in his word where he has commanded us to do a certain thing, in so much as we have filled our heart with his word, we will have the motivation, the will, and the desire to follow him wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly, with our whole being. And that's what Caleb did. In his heart, he had resolved to do what God said. And so when it came time to go in to spy out the land, he went. He made an assessment of it. But he made that assessment through the lens or within the framework of the power and might of the God that he served. And so when some said, nope, we can't do it, giants in the land, well-fortified cities, he saw the same thing, but he saw something different. We are well able to do this. Let us go up at once without delay. Let us charge this task head on without any doubt or reservation. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 says, this is God speaking. Let's give a little bit of context to this as well. So Numbers 13 go into the land, spy it out. They go in, they come out. There's the doubters that persuade the people, we can't do it. So then there's God's anger and wrath that comes upon them. And Moses intercedes for the people. Spare the people. And God spares the people. But then they try to presumptuously go into the land. They didn't do it when God said go, but they were willing to go on their own terms. And so they tried, and they were whipped back out of the land. It's after all of that, Numbers 14 and verse 24, God says these words, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where I went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. You notice that? What makes Caleb different than all the rest? There's a different spirit within him. Well, what does that even mean? Well, his spirit is filled with the word of God, and his heart has been affected by it to the point that not only does it trust God, but it's also willing to pursue the will of God and follow him wholly without reservation. You know, it's easier to follow God on the outside when his directions are on our inside. And that's the difference between these two groups. And that's why Caleb is a great and wonderful example for us tonight of how to follow God. Now let's turn our attention to verses 10 through 15, this last section. Because here Caleb teaches us how to finish with God. Read along with me. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. Now, this is nowhere near the antediluvian period. 85 years is kind of young when you're thinking of living 900 years. This is much later. This is a whole lot closer to our energy and our strength and our well-being today. So 85 years old. Look at verse 11. As yet I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me the mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Look, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Let's notice in the final place here tonight that Caleb teaches us how to finish with God. Caleb was one and remained one whose will, his determination, his resolve did not diminish. Someone has said or put it this way, illustrated it this way. He was like a sail on a boat that was full of wind. Now, you've seen some sailboats, maybe you've been on one, where the sail just kind of went limp and there it couldn't catch the wind and it couldn't go anywhere. Here's a boat with a sail that's full of wind. He's ready to go. And he's not diminished at all. Now, we're on the latter end of the conquest of the land of Canaan. If your Bible has like subheadings in it, you can see it, Joshua chapter 13, remaining of the land to be conquered. And then you've got the starting of the division of the land. And then chapter 14 begins, the land being divided west of the Jordan. Okay, so the land's being divided up. They're at the tail end of that. They're pretty much finished fighting people. But Caleb has his eyes on something that's going to require some more effort. It's going to require more work on his part. But he hasn't diminished. He still has his determination. He still has his will. He's still resolved to finish and to not quit. You ever feel like quitting? You ever feel like giving up? That's why we need Calebs around us. Not just in this book, but in these pews. We need Calebs, people who are resolved to finish with God, so that if that's not me, I have somebody to look to, someone to help me to get where I'm trying to go. You recall the things about that land that scared the ten off? Remember what they said? There are giants in the land. The cities are fortified. We can't do anything with that. Look at verse 12 again. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there. Where are the giants? Right where Caleb wants to go. And the cities were great and fortified. Where are those cities at? Right where Caleb wants to go. His courage, his will, his drive to finish is not diminished because he is resolved to finish what God has put before him. But notice he says, it may be that God will give it to me. Now, I have put before us a man who is a role model for us for faith, and a man who is determined to wholly follow the Lord, a man who I have suggested is one who is a role model for us of how to finish. But he says, it may be. Caleb has seen what has taken place before, and he's seen the presumption at the end of Numbers chapter 14, where the people presume to do it. So he's not going to be presumptuous. I trust God. And if it's his will that he give me this land, then so be it. The point I'm trying to make is saying perhaps doesn't negate faith. Nothing is diminished about this man's faith. It's just he doesn't know exactly what God is going to do, but he's resolved to accept whatever that is. He's ready to do and accomplish what he believes God is going to accomplish and do. There are times in my life, and I know there are times in your life, if you're human, where you use words like maybe, perhaps. Those don't have to be indicators of a lack of faith. When I pray for people who are sick, I pray with the full confidence that God will heal them, for perhaps he will. But that's not an indication of a lack of faith. Really, it's a lack of it's an indicator of trust and faith. This is what I really hope. Now I'm going to hand it to God and accept whatever comes. Here's a man who has been anticipating and expecting a certain outcome. But now, as he is ready to finish the job, he still understands that it's all in the will of God. And he's okay with that. In this case, he received the land. You get to Judges chapter 1 and verse 20. They gave Hebron to Caleb. He went up and he whipped the giants and he overcame the fortified cities. And he expelled from there the sons of Anak. And the nation of Israel at that point had rest from war. He finished what he had started. When I think about Bible characters who make great role models, it's hard to find a better example that is fitting for us today. Do you need help trusting God? Do you struggle with holy following God? Do you want to finish strong with God? I say yes to all three of these. And that's why I consider Caleb to be a great role model for us. My admonishment and advice to us in considering these things tonight is this. If you're not a Caleb, surround yourself with Calebs. People who model characteristics and traits like this so you can draw from that energy and strength. But have the goal or the aim at least to be a Caleb. May not be there now, but you can be. And then when you are that person, make more Calebs through your influence in the lives of others. May God help us to slow down and to look at the people that he has put before us as role models in his word, who have done it right and who also encourage us to do it right. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Do it right. Obey the gospel. This book teaches us about everything that God has done for us, but it never teaches that we just sit back in the easy chair and let him do all the work. We have to respond to what he has put before us in ways that test our faith, in ways that help us finish the race. And that all begins with obeying the gospel through faith in what he's taught us, through a willingness to confess our faith in Christ, to repent of our sins and to be baptized in water to have our sins washed away. We can become Christians tonight. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you're struggling. I suspect all of us are in some way or the other. And maybe a Bible role model can help us move on to the next level in our lives. May God help us to that end. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, won't you come as we stand and sing?